Well, you know, we have a wonderful body here. A lot of people are actively doing a lot of things in this body. And thank you, Michelle, for this thing with SOS. You know, it's almost like it's come again, but I had one man tell me once, he says, you know, Steve, if you were stripped of everything you had and were dropped into the slums of New York with nothing, he said, you probably wouldn't stay there long. Or if you had to stay there, you would find something you'd get, because that's what you've been given. Not everybody's been given that. Some people are stuck in their place. And we need to realize that whatever the Lord's been given to us, we need to use that to help others. Not everybody's been given everything. Like, you know, I was blessed. Grew up with a wonderful family, and a lot of us have been blessed. But thank you, Michelle, and Gary Brooks back there, and been working on trying to help us with getting a few things done in this building and others. I mean, there's just so many people that are actively working in our body. I just really appreciate that. And the reason I'm saying that is because the title of my message, if Stefan, are you up there? Can you switch it over to the other computer? Is I'm going to be talking about receiving from God. We need to know how to receive what God has given us. And to use things. And some of this is coming out of last Sunday when Rocky brought a wonderful message. If you were here, the message was on you have not because you ask not. And if you would have known the gift of God, you would have asked. And I would have given you. And we need to know that God wants to give us a lot. We need to receive from God. We need to be able to receive from Him. But I just want to say that many of you have received many things and are walking in many things. But are we satisfied that we're not able to receive even more from God, and that He has more for us to do, and that maybe we need to continue to press on in Him? And I'm not satisfied with my life. I think the Lord has more for me. He has more for you, and there's more to come. There's more to come. So Lord, as we look at this, I just want to say, Lord, we want more from You. Lord, help us to open up our hearts and receive what You have for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, all of God's promises are received by faith. Faith. Without faith, you don't receive things from God. Without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it says it's impossible to please God. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You know, it's looking at things that are not seen. You tell a second grader that, and they probably will think you're crazy. Well, the world thinks we're a little crazy to look at things which are not seen, but Mary, a couple of weeks ago, I still want to get a copy of that. I read it, you know, but the thing is, she said, we need to see what's not seen. We need to be walking and looking. But it says, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are just temporal. They're going to be here and gone one day. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Eternal things. But how do you see them? By faith. You got to believe. You got to have faith. Omessa was bringing this thing about believing. The Lord says He will provide. Will He? To walk in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord, it must be by faith. Not looking to what is natural, but looking to what is spiritual. Not seeing with the eyes, these eyes, but seeing with the eyes. The scripture says in Ephesians that he was praying that he opened the eyes of your heart. I want to say, looking through the eyes of truth. Looking through the eyes of the truth. What we know is true, and what we believe that's true, we need to walk by the truth. So we start seeing according to truth rather than according to circumstance, for instance. That which you see might give you one readout, but the truth gives you another readout. Which one are you going to go by? We need to go by the truth. All right. I'm not doing a message on the gifts, although I'm using that scripture. Okay? The gifts are going to be there, and we all need to receive gifts from God. But I'm not talking so much about explaining the gifts or anything. We're going to read some stuff here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This isn't the one so much. It's the one after this that I prefaced that. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know. What? That we might know the things freely given to us by God. We might not even know those without the Spirit. In fact, you won't. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Okay. Paul is saying, you really need the Spirit. You need to know what the Spirit is saying. Set your mind on the Spirit, not on the flesh. You got to set your mind in a certain way so that we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So might I say it's absolutely necessary, Louis, that we have the Holy Spirit. Again, it's absolutely necessary. There's so many things that the Spirit accomplishes for us, but it's absolutely necessary The Spirit is necessary for us to deal with the sin in the outer body. For by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. We need the Holy Spirit. It was not just something that He said, well, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and if you want to have Him, you know, go for it. If you don't, you know, you can just set Him aside. You got Jesus, that's enough. Well, we're not a Jesus-only church. We have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit is one that we have a relationship with. Yes, we have a relationship with Jesus, and we have a relationship with the Father. And they are one God. They are in perfect unity. So we don't have three gods. Okay, we have one God in three persons. It's absolutely necessary that we have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us to the Father, and He reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit is our guide and our comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one who puts to death the deeds of our body. So back to receiving from God. God has freely given us many things, and it is by the Spirit that He reveals those things. Bob Mumford. How many know the name Bob Mumford? He was praying. More, Lord. More, Lord. I want more, Lord. I want more. And to his surprise, the Lord answered, Bob, it's on your end. I've given it all. Not on my end. You have to receive what I've given you, Bob. And that's, I think, where we're at. Because of unbelief that has slipped into the body, we have stopped believing what we can have from God. It comes and robs us of the very gifts that God has for us. So one of the first things of receiving from God is that God has given it all. He's not withholding from you. He's not saying, well, you do this, this, and this, and then I'll think about giving you this. You know, like we do with our kids. No, God has given things for us. And that doesn't mean that He's given the same things for every person. But I'm telling you, everything you need has already been given. The problem's on our end to receive. We need to increase our faith to believe. God wants us to have all that He's given, both corporately. There's things that He's given to everybody, and then there's things He's given to each one of you individually. But they're all there ready for you. They're all ready for you. God isn't up there thinking about what He wanted to give you. No, He knew that before you were born, what He has for you, and it's been given already. We need to learn how to receive. James 4, the second half of James 4, says, you do not have because you do not ask. So it's all there, but He wants us to ask for it. He wants us to ask Him for what He's already given us. Because that sets our heart in a place. Once you ask for something, it's because you want it. You desire it. Every kid that asks for the car, when they bring the keys out, they say, I was just fooling, Dad. I don't really want it. No, they're taking the keys. They might be looking for the keys even if Dad isn't saying yes. But the point is what you ask for means that you have a heart and desire something. So first of all, you might want to just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? That'd be a good start, huh? Just say, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? What are the gifts that you have for me? I believe the Holy Spirit will let you know. He'll let you know. If there's something more, He'll let you know. Because it says, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And some of those things are corporate things that He's generally given to everybody, and those are things we really need to know. But there's things that He's given to each one of us, and we'll see that in the scriptures that I'm bringing up in just a minute. So we can preach and teach about the things that are given to everybody, and hopefully by hearing and hearing the Word of God, it can put faith in you to believe what God has given to all of us. But then there are gifts given to us. These gifts are distributed to us by the Holy Spirit. So God has a way of making those gifts known to you. He's not keeping it a secret. Believe that. God is not keeping secrets from you. He's called us friends, right? So He can tell us exactly what He's doing. And He's not keeping a secret from you. If we don't know, it's on our end. It's still on our end. We need to believe that God is a Father that does not hold back from us. We have to have a revelation of that, that it's not, He's not a Father that, I don't know if you deserve it or not. No, He qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. He qualified you. You did not qualify yourself. So the reason that He can give you the gifts is because He qualified you to have those gifts. You can believe that. But I tell you, even that in itself takes faith to believe that. That He's qualified me. Because sometimes the physical eyes and the eyes of the flesh say, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to do this. Well, I'm telling you, stop walking by sight and start walking by faith, and you will see a different way. I am qualified because God qualified. Sometimes in the church, you know, we can walk in the flesh here in the church and we can go by human qualifications whether you do this or that. Just like the world does. But God doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it from His perspective of what He created you to be, and that's what He wants. And that's what He wants us to see. That's why Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you may know. Well, what are you going to know? Okay. He wants us to bear more fruit. But sometimes because of fear, or maybe just not wanting the responsibility of anything more. I got enough on my plate. I don't know. God, I can't handle anymore. Don't give me anything. Well, let me ask this. Do you think we want to hold back God's things, or do we want to get rid of some of the other stuff? Which way do we want to go? I would say open your heart and say, God, give me everything you have and let the rest be gone. If we're so busy that we say, God, I don't want any more, I don't need any more responsibility from you, Lord, that means we probably have some other things maybe we need to shed off rather than God, because God knows exactly what we need and He doesn't overload us. He doesn't. I can guarantee you, but I'm just saying, let's open our hearts to receive from God and let the rest be negotiable. Let's not negotiate with God, but we can negotiate the rest of this stuff, okay? All right, so these are all things about receiving, right? Things that could stop us from receiving. Or maybe we just got complacent. Maybe I'm just happy with my life the way it is, and I'm not looking to ask for anything. You know, that we could just get complacent too, but that's not a good place either. So when we ask, we need to ask in total surrender to God. Ask God, but we need to ask in a place of surrender. So when we come to God, we're willing to hear and receive what He has for us. Okay, so we surrender ourselves before the Lord. You probably already know this, but I'm going to reiterate this. Whatever God gives you to do, whatever He gives you to do, He empowers you to do that. You may say, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. And He says, you can't. You're right. You've just turned that one right. But I can do that through you. I can do it through you. I will give you all the grace to do that. I will empower you to do it. It's not about you. Well, whatever I give you to do and whatever God gives you to do, know that He will empower you to get it done. So it isn't going to be about you, which is part of the seeing according to the flesh, right? And you see according to the truth. He knows what gift to give us and how it fits into the body. We just need to receive it and start doing it. You take one piece out of the old jewel watches. You take one thing out and the whole thing quits working. It may not seem like a significant piece, but that's how the body is. He wants us all to be supplying and putting in place that which is necessary for the body to function. Okay? All right. So, 1 Corinthians 12. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I want you to just focus or remember that word up there. Manifestation. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each one, just as He wills. Do you think that there's maybe, let's just say that God divides it all up, right? In this group here, I'm going to give gifts to, but you know what? I don't need you guys. I'm just going to use this group with the gifts, okay? Or do you think that God really includes the whole body. Do you think that God has a gift for you? I believe He does. But He distributes it as He sees fit. Okay? Let me just say this. There's gifts that are very evident, and there are other gifts that aren't so evident. They're all gifts, and they're all the same value. They're all the same value. Like I said, this isn't a... I'm not going to talk about these gifts. I'm just talking about receiving Him. So to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So I was... Two weeks ago Friday, we were down in the cities. Candy went down for a little checkup. And on the way back, I stopped to see Jay Bunker. I always try to swing in and see him. I like just being in his presence. And he said, Steve, he says, the church has become okay with the presence of God. And he said, the presence of God is always with us. The presence of God is always there. He said, what the church needs is the manifest presence of God. They need the manifest presence of God. And if you look here, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Wow. And when I saw that, I said, you know, Jay, you're always saying something that's right on here. We need the manifestation of the gifts for the common good. We need to press on to the manifest presence of God. So the manifest presence is not about what we receive from God, but it's how we are used with the individual gifts He's given us and how we're using them for the common good of the body. Okay? And guess what? There isn't enough opportunity on Sunday morning for that to happen. It has to be happening in our life outside these walls. Okay? The church is happening out here, not here. I mean, it does happen here, but it gets a little self-centered here. Which I think the Lord knows that, and He does build us up, and that's okay, but this isn't enough, is what I'm saying. Sunday morning is not enough to see the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit, however, is what we see with our physical eyes. Because God manifested itself into our arena of the earth. All of a sudden, I'm seeing it now with my physical eyes. Okay, that's what it means to be a manifestation. The Spirit may be working all the time, but He wants us to witness that for the common good. And the gifts seen here, by the way, in the next couple slides, are not a comprehensive list, okay? This isn't everything. There's other scriptures and there's other things, but listen to what the Spirit is saying. No one is measuring or checking on the gifts that you have. No one has the right to measure or be the gift checker in the body. Okay? You're not the fruit inspector. So don't start looking around and saying, well, what about him? No, keep it to yourself. What about me? What gifts, Lord, do you have for me? And how am I supposed to see that manifesting in the body? Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. So we need to be diligent to ask God, not so much for a particular gift, but rather, what gift, Lord, do you have for me? Okay? Now you can desire gifts, and He may give you some desires, but be more conscious to be able to receive what God has for you. Okay? All right. We'll read on a little further here. I'm just continuing on. So, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, I'm not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desires. Who desires? Just as He desires. You know, we can elbow our way in and try to get in and do what I want to do. But I'll tell you what, we want to be those who walk in submission and do what the Lord wants. We receive from Him. So we each have particular gifts, and they differ from one another. We're never to expect other people in the body to have what we have. And we should not expect us to have what others have. We receive from God what He gives us for the common good of the body to serve. The greater problem is that the body of Christ hasn't received all that God has for them for one reason or another. And if anything in my heart is that we would open up to God again and receive what He has for each one of us. Just receive what He has and desire what He has for us. In fact, maybe we should just pray here. Lord, I just would ask, Lord, that You would open up our hearts. Lord, that You would give us revelation of how much You love us, first of all, and how You have, before we were even born, You had a particular thing for us to do, and it may not be something that we would say significant, but Lord, whatever You've given us to do is very significant. We are all significant people. We're all in a place, Lord, we want to receive what You have for us, Lord. So help us, Lord, each one of us to open up and just have a new desire to see Your body functioning as You want it to function. And Lord, also help us, Lord, to not resist what You have for us to do, but help us, Lord, to negotiate away the things of the world which are keeping us too busy so that we can't do Your thing. Lord, we're all about doing what You want us to do. Give us faith for that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's press on.
Yep.
Oh, good.
He said that we're bound up in fear most of the time. But the fear of God releases the spirit, but the fear of man stifles it.
The fear of God releases the spirit, but the fear of man stifles the spirit. Well, thank you, Dwayne. Yep. All right.
Into me that
I
think I'm loud enough. Well, I think I'm just thankful to be. It's simply this. Well, Adam and I were reading scripture one morning, and the same scripture really jumped out to us. And the Lord used that scripture during the day. I have been feeling tired, not sensing the presence of the Lord, and then talking to my sister-in-law. Her daughter-in-law has had to move in with her because she is on her back with a bad back and can't take care of her children. Had to come all the way from Vancouver to Winnipeg and lie on her back in Winnipeg so that Denise, my sister-in-law, can take care of her grandchildren. But she said, why don't you talk to her? And I thought, how can God even use me? But then that scripture came to my mind while I was speaking with her, and he attached that, a testimony that I had of how God used it. But as we were sitting here this morning, there's someone here who needs this today, and I just pray that, God, you would make it alive. Because there's hopelessness in someone's heart today here. And may the God of hope, the God of all hope, give you all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, not your own power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word says. And just please, whoever you are, no matter how you feel, take it by faith. Believe that God is saying this to you. Because I can hear the devil saying, oh, it doesn't fit you and your past hope. No, this is a lie from the pit of hell. May the God of all hope give you all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hope that is seen is not hope at all. You can't see it. It's not manifested yet. But God is wanting you to say, I believe you. I believe you, Lord, this morning. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Receive that from the Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable bodies become more presentable, whereas our more presentable bodies have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. I think the Lord just opened things up here. Would you agree? We have need of each other. We have need of Dwayne. We have need of Cheryl. Well, at least it wasn't my wife, you know. That would have been worse. But we have need of the body. And we'd have to make room for that. Okay? But that's not just true on Sunday morning. It's true that we have need of the body all the time. Let's not make Sunday morning service the big deal, okay? I mean, it is probably a big deal when they meet together, but I'm telling you that the body is active all the time, 24/7. And we have need. So, He has given each one of us as He sees fit for the common good. To those who are not sure of their gift, just continue to ask God. The body desperately needs you. The body desperately needs you. So no gift is above another gift. And the weaker ones, He said, are more necessary or necessary. More honor is given to those gifts. And He cares for each one of us. And if one member suffers, 1 Corinthians 12:26, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. We should not see ourselves as just having a personal relationship with Jesus for our sake. Amen? Even though we do have this personal relationship for our sake. But that's not how we should just stop and see ourselves that way. We must see ourselves as a member of His body, and that our condition affects the whole body. When you're suffering, the whole body suffers. When you're honored, we all rejoice. Earnestly desire the greater gift. So let's just diverse here a little bit about the greatest gift, okay? James and John's mother comes to Jesus and says, "When you come in your kingdom, let my two kids sit on your left and your right." And He says, "Woman, you don't know what you're asking, and it's not mine to give, first of all. But let me explain about greatness in the kingdom. Okay, let me explain about what you should be desiring when you're desiring something great in the kingdom." Jesus called them to Himself and says, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant." He didn't say, "Be my servant." You see, we sometimes settle, "Well, I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ." What about being a bondservant of His body? You want to be great in the kingdom as one that is a bondservant of the body. Well, He starts out just, if you want to be great among you, you shall be your servant. Now, there's always the great ones, and then there's always the one who wants to be uno, number one. He wants to be the greatest of the great. So if you want to be the greatest of the great, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. They'll actually give themselves over as a bondservant to the body. Earnestly desire the greater gift. But whatever gift that is, it's going to come with being a bondservant to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get to have it according to your own authority, your own course of action. No, you have that as one who comes to serve the body and cares about the body and has taken the owl to the ear and says, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. My gift is here for you. It's all about the common good for you. That's what my gift is about. It's about the common good here. It's the common good to His body. However He wants to use you, that's what it's going to be used for. But it won't come unless you first of all take on the role of a servant or take on the role of a slave to the body. The gift will be used wrongly. I'll bring that up in just a minute. So, our motivation for receiving a gift from God is for the sole purpose of benefiting others. And we are not greater than Jesus, our Master. If He came to serve, that's what we come to do. I did not come to be served, but to serve. And He gave His life for our sake, then we are to give our life for the sake of others. We cannot receive from God anything unless we ask with right motives. So, one reason the body hasn't received, let's look at James 4. You do not have because you don't ask. But then the next thing right after that is you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. In other words, using the gifts of God for your own benefit is not the right motive. Our gifting is not so that we look good to others. That would be for our benefit. Okay? Our gifting is not so that we feel good about ourselves. That would be using it for my benefit. Well, I got a gift, now I feel good about myself. Well, let's get our motives right. In fact, our giftings are not so that we see an outcome. It's not us to judge the outcome of our gift. There's another one who's got a purpose and He judges that. That's the Lord. We don't judge ourselves. We don't judge one another. We leave that to the Lord and His purposes and His outcome. He's the one who's looking over that. Our gifts are only used when needed under submission to the Holy Spirit and under submission to His body. The Holy Spirit is the one who has work in the body to bring it to completion. We are servants of Christ and servants of His body. It is never about how I can use my gift. It is never about how I can use my gift. But rather, am I and my gift available to be used by the Lord when He wants it to be used? So we must first see ourselves as servants, not as providers. You're a servant, you're not a provider. The Lord is our provision, okay, and we leave it to Him to provide. He may use us and our giftings for His provision, but we're not the provider and our gift is not the provider for the body, okay? So don't think that you have this gift and now, you know, you're going to provide something for the body. That's not how it comes. Okay. Now on the last day of the great feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, let me just let you know that Jesus has been glorified. That happened. And when he was glorified, he went to the Father and he received the Holy Spirit and he poured that out. That's already taken place. Okay? Now, there are times when the Lord seems to be pouring out more of His Spirit. I don't know how that works. I do know that there's a truth that He's already accomplished some things. But I want us to be ready to receive all that God has for us in this day and this hour. And that's my heart. So to receive more of the Holy Spirit, you first need to be thirsty. How many of us are thirsty or are we satisfied? You see, let's get thirsty again. Maybe we need to be more of the salt of the earth. Salt makes you thirsty. Okay. The water of the Spirit is now available to all who are thirsty because Jesus is glorified. Second, we need to open our mouth and drink. I know some of you got, maybe when Keith was here and he was taking these and symbolically, but I'll tell you, open your mouth and drink however it is. It's by faith. You say, well, that looked funny. Well, I'll tell you, faith looks pretty funny sometimes. But however you're going to do it, open your mouth and drink. Don't be like a little kid, you know, the food comes and you get a face full of stuff. Okay. God is not holding back from us who are thirsty. But we need to drink with right motives. If you do not drink enough water every day, you become dehydrated. If we stop drinking the Spirit, we become spiritually dehydrated. Jay Bunker, I was just talking to yesterday by phone, and he said, I got a letter from my doctor. And it said, Jay, one paragraph, drink more water. You're not drinking enough water, Jay. Your urine samples are coming back. Your kidneys aren't functioning very good. Drink more water. And he said, for the last week or so, I've been drinking more water. I feel wonderful. Things happen. So I think, you know, for us, drink more, we'll feel better in the Lord. So we need to open our mouth. We need to be thirsty. Open our mouth. Third, from our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We'll be the source for others. We'll be a source of refreshing to all who come in contact with. You know, so out of Candy there's rivers. Out of Jeanette there's rivers. You know, out of Kazi there's rivers. Well, let's add up the number of rivers. That's a lot of rivers. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of, I mean, it's just not one little stream, it's rivers. And if we all have rivers, but we know that the one source of all those rivers is the Lord. So we're teaching this Trinity Bible class, which won't be going on tonight, but usually Monday nights. And I was just doing a little calculation. 1 million people came out of Egypt. How do you like to provide the water for 1 million people? So I took what the average person consumes of water today. I could get that. And I said, well, they probably didn't use that much. So I divided that by 4. Okay. And only gave them a fourth of what we use today. And that would mean that Moses would have to order the equivalent of 1,000 tanker trucks of water every day to have enough for 1/4 of the water we use today for every person. That did not include the cattle, which seemed to drink even more. That's a lot of water. But the point is without water, there's no life. Without drinking from the Holy Spirit, there's no life. So really, we come alive. The more we drink, the more we come alive. Come alive. Don't we sing a song like that? So, Jesus was the rock that followed Moses through the wilderness and provided the water. That was a lot of water, by the way. Don't get this rock just a little dribble. That was a lot of water coming out. So we're ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We carry the rock in us that produces water for the world. Water for us. So we're here to serve and not be served. But I just know that God has more for us. So let's open our hearts and receive. Let's be one who can receive. And let's keep our motives right. Let's not look at everybody else and try to figure out what's wrong with everybody else. Let's just deal with what the Lord's doing for me. That's enough. Because the Lord is dealing with all of us individually. So let's not judge one another. But let's open our hearts and receive what God has for us, okay? I think we're going someplace. I'm excited for what the Lord's doing with us. And, you know, we don't do altar calls here, and I don't feel the need to do an altar call today. Last week, I really felt the need for an altar call. I felt like we needed to respond to what the Lord had. But I do admonish us as a body to open up our hearts to the Lord. And if there's a negotiating going on, let the things of this world be negotiated away. And let's receive what the Lord has for us, okay? Now, that's for you to discern, not for anybody else, okay? you're walking this out with the Lord, and you're walking out your salvation with God. But let's do that with fear and trembling, like Dwayne said. The fear of the Lord releases the gifts, okay? So I'm not saying that anybody in here is walking like they shouldn't be. I'm just praying that we would all receive more from God. Okay? So Lord, help us as a body to move in the things that you have for us to do as a body, especially in these days. The world is passing away, but your words never pass away. So Lord, we believe you and we want to increase our faith in you. So help us, Lord, to receive and help us to have the right motives for what we have so that we can use it for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.